Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The Game, KGMZ-FM in HD1 San Francisco, on Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube. Powered by First NorCal Credit Union.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
Who's this, boss? I don't like this.
Tupac.
You guys familiar
with... You heard of that guy?
Are you guys familiar? Well, what's the rapper's name? Skrilla? Skilla?
Well, there's Skrillex.
No.
There's J Dilla. There's...
I was looking this up, so... Everybody's
Suge Knight?
Everybody's
Master Killer.
Thrown out. I don't know if you hang out with younger people. There's this new phrase, 6'7".
Oh, yes. We've
Which
talked
some
about
people
this.
Trace back to LaMelo Ball.
Yeah, so... Oh.
Because he's 6'7"?
I think the rapper... I could be wrong here, and people will correct us, I'm sure, but Skrilla... He was... You know, that was a lyric of his, right?
Exactly.
And he referenced LaMelo Ball specifically. But it's apparently something people just throw out in the middle of classrooms, and it's like sweeping the youth of America. And it's really frustrating the adults.
Well, it doesn't really have any definition.
No, it's just anything. Yeah, it could mean anything. It's like John. But I think a lot of people associate it with being like mid. Like, oh, like 6'7", that's...
Mid.
That's mid. That's something not that impressive.
Speaking of LaMelo Ball, did you see he flipped off a referee? But he didn't flip off a referee like...
He flipped off a referee?
Well, it's not like he did it with like in his face and angry. He just like got a call and he's like, you know, walking the other way. And just, it was so LaMelo Ball, it sort of worked. It's like...
It's kind of like, you know, doing a little
scratch. No, he wasn't that. He could clearly see it was intended for the referee, but he just was like, whatever, man.
He was fined $35,000 for it.
LaMelo Ball is just, you can't win with guys like that, man. You know what? If you could somehow transfer his brother's head onto his body, you'd have a basketball player. Because I think Lonzo Ball is one of the, I've always liked Lonzo Ball as a basketball player. He's always looking to set up guys. In fact, I think Cleveland will be better because of Lonzo Ball. LaMelo, like, the one-footed threes, stop.
So this reminds me, there's a new book that was written by this guy named, I think it's Yaron Weitzman, and just came out. It's called The Hollywood Ending, Dreams and Drama of the LeBron Lakers. And it's about like the power dynamic between the Buses and LeBron once he got to L.A. So within this book, there's a lot of stories, and one of which is about Lonzo, because when LeBron first got here, right, it was the baby Lakers. You had Lonzo, you had Julius Randle, D'Angelo Russell.
Kyle Kuzma.
Yeah, a lot of these guys that eventually used to trade and get players and they won a championship. But one of the stories in this book, and I'm going to paraphrase here because I don't remember the specifics, but Lonzo has come a long way. Like, he was, what, the second or third overall pick? And apparently, Lonzo didn't like to study. And the Lakers knew this when they drafted him. So, not quite Jamarcus Russell, give you a blank tape, go home, come back, tell me what happened in it, and you lie about it, which means you didn't watch it. But a lot of the advanced scouts or the assistant coaches for the Lakers would, in video sessions, ask, you know, call on, hey, Lonzo, what are you supposed to do for this guy? I think it was actually a matchup with Russell Westbrook. And the scouting report was like, hey, make him go left, right? And they asked Lonzo, hey, if you're defending on Russell Westbrook, because that's your main assignment tonight, right? Where are you forcing him? And he goes, I mean, I'm just trying to keep him in front or something like that. And they're like, no. If you had read the scouting report, you know that Russ goes left or Russ cannot go left. And so there was a lot of these small little things around Lonzo that actually when he first got into the league, he might have had the head of LaMelo. But clearly now I think he's the most respected of the three. So he's come a long ways. Maybe there's some hope for young LaMelo.
How different would LaMelo be if the Warriors went number two with him instead of Weissman?
I think he'd be different.
He would. You know what? It's interesting on a serious note. I think it's sort of just to segue back to the Golden State Warriors. It's sort of what we're dealing with Jonathan Kuminga. You know who the worst team is in the NBA, I think, in the Western Conference? I guess it's the New Orleans Pelicans.
Yes.
And you want to know why? It's because you traded for Jordan Poole. Anywhere Jordan Poole goes.
Oh, come on, man.
Jordan Poole does not know how to win.
Dude.
He has all the bad habits. He'll always be on teams like Washington.
He's a champion.
It's the last time he'll ever sniff something like that. But my point is that Jonathan Kuminga, let's say Jonathan Kuminga got drafted by Orlando when they were in the rebuild.
Yeah.
Let's say he went to Toronto like Scotty Barnes when they were bad. Or he went to a bad team.
They're still bad.
He would have, certainly, he may have gotten a max deal by now. He would have gotten paid because he would have put up big numbers. I think we could all agree on that. But would he have ever learned to play the sport the right way? Like, would he ever learn to be a winner? Or would he be like a Jordan Poole? Which the league is littered with dudes who can score, but do you know the nuance of the game? Like, all the schooling from Steve Kerr, Draymond Green, hitting your head up against, you got to do it our way. You got to fit in. Like, none of that would have been something that he learned had he gone anywhere else. But he would have been a much wealthier guy. I wonder, you know, if LaMelo Ball, I think it would have been as difficult, if not more so, in trying to rein in LaMelo Ball.
But don't we have the perfect case study for that? It's Jordan Poole. You've seen what kind of player he is when he's asked to be the primary option, or he's asked to, or he doesn't have structure, quite frankly. Like in Washington, there's no structure there. That's not a team that, an organization that really knows what direction it's going in. They've just fired coaches willy-nilly. They're out there to just play. We've seen what player he can be in that kind of environment, but we've also seen within structure and when he has bought in and played a role that he can be a winning player. So that to me is actually an example of I would use to support the argument that that LaMelo Ball would be a different player if he played for Golden State. Because for all these people that say, and to your point, right, JP's not a winning player. Washington didn't do much. New Orleans, to your point, is the worst team in the league because they have a lot of Jordan Poole-type players. Okay, well, on the Warriors, he was a winning player when he was the sixth man on a championship team. He helped you win a title. He had a lot of big games during that playoff run. And to me, that is a firm example of how the Warriors, and along with Steve Kerr in that front office, can take players like that and properly fit them into the spots they're supposed to be. Jordan Poole is not a franchise player, but he could be a sixth man on a championship team, which he obviously is not going to be a part of in New Orleans because that team stinks.
Getting back to Jonathan Kuminga, have you seen enough in the first 10 days of the regular season to make sort of the sweeping generalization that this version of Jonathan Kuminga is real. And the version being that he's a guy that's bought in, that's doing all of the little things that Steve Kerr has been trying to pound into his head over the last 4 years, that this Jonathan Kuminga is not just a flash and doing things to impress people in the beginning of the season, but actually is the unveiling of a new guy.
I think he is he's a player with a different mentality from what it looks like to me.
So no reverting back to the old Jonathan Kuminga.
No, because you can see the effort on every single play. Like, is he going to continue to shoot 55%? And I think the big number that stood out to me, Dan, so far is 45% from three. Probably not. But I think it's encouraging that he is willing to rebound every single play. I think he, maybe in the game against Milwaukee, he might have been too selfless. Like, that was a game where not many others had it going. He was playing well, and I think he scored only a couple baskets in the fourth quarter down the stretch of that game. Like, they needed someone to kind of score. So to me, the next step for him is going to be, all right, on a night where some other players don't have it going, can I be the one to take over? Because I think he's done an excellent job of trying to fit. It looks like he's trying to play the way that Steve Kerr has envisioned him playing in this system. But now there's going to be those nights where, hey, JK, actually we do need you to be the player from the Minnesota series in which you showed that you can score 30 points. Like, that guy, you know, that's to me going to be the next phase of his career, is figuring out, all right, when am I the guy who's the second or third option? And on some nights, when am I going to have to take over? But I think he's clearly taken a step in the right direction. And I think he's a big reason why the Warriors are off to a nice start. So I think it's been refreshing. Like, and I understand there's both sides of it, right? You know, if he'd been playing, he would have been this player. And everyone wants, you know, people to, on the JK side of things, to apologize to Steve Kerr. To me, I think there needs to be apologies on both sides, because I've heard a lot of, this guy will never be this player. And I've been in that camp at some points. It's hard to not have been, to me. And I've also heard the side of things where, like, he's always been this guy. And to me, neither of those are really completely true. Clearly, he's developed over the course of 4+ years. And clearly, he's needed to buy in a little more than he has. So I think it's a bit of both. I don't know. What have you made of this?
Well, I think it's not only Jonathan Kuminga, just thinking about the Golden State Warriors collectively, but I think all those young players have to be who they've been in the early part of the season, meaning the Warriors are going to be so reliant, and they always are, but this year more than ever, on not only Jonathan Kuminga, but the Pajemskis, the Moody's, even the Trace Jackson Davis. Like, that, they don't have to be as good as Jimmy Butler, because they're not going to be. They don't have to be as good as Steph, because there's no such thing, or Draymond Green. But there has to be more of an upgrade than what it is we've seen. And one of the guys that I think we need to highlight, because we always talk about Jonathan Kuminga, but it's Moses Moody. Like, this version of Moses Moody, we've seen and we've talked about, just about, I'm sure, every show you've done here about, over the last week, Jonathan Kuminga's bought in. Mm-hmm. Love this version of Jonathan Kuminga. I think this version of Moses Moody is also worth underlining. And here's why. It's because Moses Moody has now looked as though he's reached a point, whether it's the Jimmy Butler factor, where he's so comfortable and now confident, where he's shooting, but he's shooting at a high volume. And after missing two or three shots, he's not looking over his shoulder and he's not being tentative. But he is becoming a guy that you can rely on giving you points. And you can see the transformation in his game, where there is a sense of, I'm getting up my shots. He almost has adopted a little Klay Thompson, shoot or shoot, right? Like, he's losing his conscience, which is a good thing for a guy like that, because he was very timid at times. And I think his maturity, if you can rely on a new and improved Moses Moody, who's now a confident basketball player that's going to come in and he's getting his shots. Like, I don't really care any longer of getting the stink eye from Draymond or Steph. This is what I do. And after 4 years in the system, year five, I'm a confident man now when it comes to my game. I think that, to go along with JK, if Pajemski can head in the right direction, that to me, that underbelly of the Golden State Warriors, that's what you have to focus on when you're handicapping this team.
Well, if we're talking about those three young players, the Pajemski, Moody, and Kamingas, to me, the Moody and Pajemski aspect of the team, it's going to be important because when they have Horford, it feels like, and especially against bigger teams, like those guys are going to come off the bench. To me, the weakness that I see right now with the Warriors would be, yes, they're deep, but their second unit doesn't really have a scoring punch. They have a lot of streaky shooters. Buddy Hield's a streaky shooter. I would also put Moses Moody in that category. I think he's a good shooter, but he's a streaky shooter. Quentin Post, on nights where he's not starting, is going to come off the bench. He's a streaky shooter. They don't really have anybody in that second unit to will them, to kind of keep them at, you know, above water when Steph's off the floor, except for Jimmy Butler. And there's going to be nights where either because he's unavailable, maybe he's a little fatigued, like we saw in both Portland as well as Milwaukee, where he just can't will and carry this second unit to try and keep pace while Steph's off the floor. I don't know who's going to be the emerging scoring threat from that second unit, because it appears that Kuminga's here to stay in the starting lineup, whereas a lot of people had him envisioned coming into this year as the sixth man, the scorer off the bench. He's a starter. Like, there's no doubt about that now. So who's going to be the guy to come off the bench and get you some buckets? I think the candidate, you know, if I'm going to point at anybody, the guy with the most potential might be Moses Moody. And I'm not sure he's there yet to the point where he can, you know, he could take a guy off the dribble. But I'm not sure Pods can do it. I can't rely on Buddy Hield, though he's going to have some nights. And there's not really anybody else off the bench right now that I'm looking at and saying, including an Al Horford, all right, I can pencil you in for 10 to 12 points a night.
And when you think about Buddy Hield and the Jonathan Kuminga relationship, if Buddy Hield's healthy and doesn't have the bad calf at the beginning of the season, Jonathan Kuminga, I don't think, is starting. Like, I think Jonathan Kuminga is the guy.
Oh, Moody, you mean?
Yeah, who did I say?
You said Buddy.
No. Yeah.
Moody.
Moses,
yeah.
Moody.
If Moody. Yeah, if I agree
Moody
with
is,
you.
Moody is starting, and Jonathan Kuminga is that sixth guy. Now there's no replace. So it's sort of interesting because a year ago, when you think about Jonathan Kuminga, was that sort of hard luck ankle injury just when he had turned a corner and was becoming this Jonathan Kuminga, was scoring the big numbers.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. And my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Really was playing well, according to Steve Kerr, and then he goes down with that untimely injury. And now we fast forward to the beginning of this season, and he's the benefactor of somebody else's injury.
Yeah.
That being Moses Moody.
Well, it's been interesting, and maybe we can get some calls in here, too. I think that the thing that I'm wondering is, okay, so it looks like the Kuminga-Butler combo can work. Now, I think it's been working because those two guys have been shooting the ball really well from three, and eventually that's going to regress, and we'll see how that combination continues to progress. But it doesn't feel like on most nights, if Kuminga's playing well and doing well, that Moody can also get in on the action. And last year it was, well, Moody's in the starting lineup, he's playing well, and Kuminga's having a tough time figuring out where he fits. Like, to me, if they can somehow get those guys on the same page where they're both, and I know Moody's got the thumb thing right now, but if they can both have those players on the same page at the same time, I think that elevates their ceiling because they're the two most prototypical wing players that you need to compete nowadays in 2025.
I would also say that I know it's working right now, and I'm in on Jonathan Kuminga long term, but I don't know that the Jonathan Kuminga, Jimmy Butler, Draymond Green, while it's all, you know, everybody's in on it now.
They're making a lot of threes.
Get back with me in a month or two.
They're making a lot of threes, and none of those three players have shot it this well for an entire season.
That spacing issue, I think, is going to rear its ugly head once again. 888-957-9570. Phone line, AJ in Los Angeles. Let's get down to the Southland. AJ, welcome to the show.
What's going on? What's going on? Good morning. I don't really agree with most of the things you guys have talked about so far. And I'll start with the Jonathan Kuminga in terms of not seeing this version of Jonathan Kuminga. That's wrong. That's big time wrong. In fact, we've seen this. We've seen layers of what we've seen. The only thing that we haven't seen of this version of Jonathan Kuminga is the passing, okay? And I would say the only reason we haven't seen this much of Jonathan Kuminga in the passing game is because he was a bit impatient, but I don't think he ever had the duties of being a facilitator in this offense as much as he has now, okay? But in terms of shooting, he's a career 50% shooter from the field. His per 36 minutes is 7 rebounds, so he's always rebound when he had significant run. Whenever he had run, he rebounded the ball, okay? In terms of defending the ball, he's always been known as a guy who could defend the ball. The challenge is, obviously, it's been off the ball, and my argument for that is that the Warriors are so weak at the backcourt is that they have to switch everything. They have to switch everything, and I think that's the challenge is what they're having right now defensively is that they have to switch everything because Pai's buddy Steph are so terrible on the ball as point-of-attack defenders. You lean so much on guys like Jimmy Butler, Draymond Green, and J.K. to cover them. And so I think that the Moody and J.K. situation, we need to stop doing the one or the other. I think they both have to play because, believe it or not, I believe they're the two best point-of-attack defenders on the team. They're the best on-ball defenders. So you have to find a way to get them on the floor. You got to find a way to get Moody in his traditional position, which is the two-guard position. And you got to find a way to, you know, get Draymond, Jimmy, and J.K. on the floor. And again, the only reason why that didn't work is because they didn't play as much. So we can't keep saying that this doesn't work, the spacing doesn't work. We can't say spacing. And one thing about the spacing issue, I hate the spacing question because most of us who argue spacing never even played in the NBA before. So we're arguing spacing as a mouthpiece to Steve Kerr, but when he rolled it out there, all of a sudden, the Jimmy J.K. Draymond has the highest net rating on the team. Why? Because they're playing. They have run. So I just wanted to kind of lay that out there for you guys and just kind of be patient. You know, let's just watch things play out. Let's see what happens. J.K. knows that he needs to play well. He needs to showcase because he got to go get a bag.
Thanks, AJ. Well, you knew it would just be a matter of time. You mentioned Jonathan Kuminga.
I mean,
get people like AJ. So I guess.
Well, he also said that we haven't seen this type of player before. Because we haven't seen this sort of passing.
Yeah. And I think the passing to me is the first thing that jumps out more than anything else.
His rebounding percentage is up. His assist percentage is up. And his usage rate is down. He's scoring more efficiently than he ever has. His true shooting percentage is miles ahead of where it's been at any year, even his best season. You could say it was a couple of years ago down the stretch of last. It's nearly 70% his true shooting percentage. He's a different player. Like, that's okay. He's a different player. He's more efficient in the opportunities that he's had with the ball and without the ball. And the Warriors are better for it. I don't know why we can't just admit that.
Well, I think a lot of people like AJ, they want their pound of flesh. Or they want
that's,
at least
fair.
Somebody. And I think you said it perfectly. That I think if Steve Kerr was to be honest, and maybe he's vocalized this, that he's made a mistake. Right? Like he should have given him run a lot sooner, or maybe he should not have DMP'd him or continued to mess with his head and yo-yoing him back and forth. I think that there's, you know, some ownership there on the part of Steve Kerr. But I also think that at times, to your point, and I think, you know, correct me if I'm getting this right from what it is that you said, that there's also some culpability on the part of Jonathan Kuminga, who was not ready at times and still was not playing within the system, and that both guys are at fault, and now we've arrived at a place that I don't know why we have to continue to dig this up, but we will. But they now arrived at a place where Jonathan Kuminga is playing at his optimal sort of Warrior level. And Steve Kerr is satisfied from what it is that he's getting out of Jonathan Kuminga. So while both guys may have been at fault, we finally, and it's been sort of a treacherous road, we've finally arrived at a place where everything is sort of copacetic and both guys can coexist.
Yeah, well, okay, instead of different, since that seems to be a triggering word for some people, how about a better player? He's been a better player this season than he has in his first 4 years, which, oh, by the way, is kind of the goal. You know, if you're a young guy and you're 23, you want to be getting better. And I'm happy for him that it looks like he's moving in that direction because the Warriors are better for it.
All right, we got to get to a break. We see you on the phone line, 888-957-9570. Mitch, hang out in Jersey. We'll get to you and the rest of the callers when we continue here on Warriors This Week with Evan Giddings and Dan Avone.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back in. Golden State Warriors do battle with the Indiana Pacers. The Pacers, of course, without their best player. You just take one guy like a Tyrese Haliburton, and it's an entirely different team.
Well, you also saw the other guy they lost from their team
Pascal
on Thursday.
Pascal Siakam, right?
No, Miles Turner.
Well, Miles.
He's on the Bucks.
Yeah, no, but I mean,
oh, yeah, you take away Haliburton. I think, but it's like you take away the point guard and the 7-foot 3-and-D shot blocker, and it's like, yeah, if Siakam's not having a good game, then they're in trouble.
So the Warriors' favorite and should be able to handle business, although, you know, you never know, on the road.
They're 10.5 favorites. I wouldn't touch that.
You know, you and I were talking about play-by-play and broadcasting during the break. I'm kind of with you when it comes to NBC and the Michael Jordan.
Oh.
Insights to greatness. It's like, what are we doing here? Like, what? This has nothing to do with anything. Like, and they're playing the same interview with Tirico because he's wearing the same clothes. They're both wearing the same clothes. And it's like, he's talking about load management. And it's just like, it has no relevance to anything. And then the answers he's given is like, yeah, okay. We know how you feel about load management. And, you know, you're playing for that guy who's working hard. And it's just, it has... The only thing you take away when you see Michael Jordan
The eyes.
On NBC are just like, what's wrong with his eyes? That's it. That's, you walk away going, what the hell's, what's going on with that?
Like, he's the all-time great, or one of them, wherever you want to put him. Doesn't really matter to me.
Come on, it's either him or LeBron.
I don't know. Some Warriors fans think Curry's the greatest. I don't know. I don't care where you have Michael Jordan ranked in your all-time players. What I do care about is him being completely hypocritical every single time he talks on one of these halftime shows. Which, by the way, you're right. The fact that they just recorded a two-hour conversation sometime in the offseason and then are unveiling his lessons of greatness across the season is the laziest piece of OS I've ever seen in my life. Like, if you're going to be a part of a broadcast, then actually be a part of a broadcast. Show up to a game like every single other person that's paid on that production staff and analyst staff is paid to do. Show up, be there, talk about the game. But this is it too. So the last one, they were going into load management. And Jordan was given the whole, look, you're paid for 2 hours of performance, 2.5 hours. The other 22, what are you doing to prepare for the next 2.5 hours? It's like, Mike, you're on the golf course for 4 hours a day, and you're at Atlantic City for 6 hours a night. Like, you're telling me that you were spending all 22 hours every single day keeping your body in the best possible condition and not doing anything else? You're telling
me, it's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
You didn't have any vices? So, to me, yes, load management is a problem, but Mike being the guy to sit up there and say, all right, well, you can only care about basketball and not have any other part of your life. Like, it's a little hypocritical.
It's not only that.
He was on the floor every game, but to me, it falls on deaf ears.
But
is, I guess I'm trying to say.
I'm NBC and I'm getting basketball back after 3 decades and there's all this excitement and I'm the EP, the executive producer, whomever's in charge of these sort of things of putting together a show, and I've got NBC money to spend. When they go to the studio, you couldn't do any better than Vince Carter, Carmelo Anthony, and Tracy McGrady. It's like, Maria Taylor's solid, but there is no chemistry there.
Oh, I hate it.
It is. Like, you compare that to the inside the NBA, and some of those guys were like the backup to the backup on inside the NBA. It's like, there is, I mean, come on. You could have got a little more innovative. You could have found somebody that nobody's discovered yet. But those three guys are just like, NBC, up to this point, you got Tirico, and I'm good with Reggie Miller, and actually Jamal Crawford is not bad. Usually 3 people for an NBA game is too many, but I'll take it. But their studio show, uh-uh.
Maybe that's your problem, Dan, is that you're comparing stuff to inside the NBA when there's nothing, it's incomparable, possibly.
I'll compare it to Amazon. I'll compare it to ESPN. Give me Kendrick Perkins. I'll take it. Give me... you know, Zach Lowe, or give me somebody like that. Give me
Brian Windhorst.
I mean, throw him out there.
I would like to hear what Michael Jordan has to say about the games and the players. You know, that's just me. And I get that a lot of people love seeing Mike because he's their favorite player, and it takes them back into a time which they loved the game of basketball. But for me, if I'm curious what Michael Jordan thinks about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander or Steph Curry or Draymond Green, and asking him to critique and analyze stuff that's happening in the moment and get his spur of the moment. That to me would be really interesting. I am interested in what Michael Jordan has to say about that. But for them to roll out this 2 hour segment over the course of the season, you know, some segments are going to be better than the others, and it's going to be nostalgic for a lot of people. I guess it just doesn't do it for me.
Yeah. How about talk about at least reference the game that's being played? You know, it's halftime of an NBA basketball game, and he's waxing poetic.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Poetic about load management. In the same clothes that he was wearing the last time we saw Insight to Excellence a week ago. Come on, NBC.
I think overall, like the NBC production, I think the play-by-play, the games themselves, even like the scoreboard banners is kind of refreshing. And, you know, like the Costas segment, I think he did the preamble to, what was it, Warriors Memphis or Warriors Clippers?
Yeah.
Or Warriors Clippers, right, the 8 o'clock game, which, by the way, is something else. I had to do pre and post that.
Dude, I'm on the East Coast, man. It's 11 o'clock at night and they're tipping off.
They're just saying
it's
goodbye.
It's not even
to
11 o'clock,
yeah.
It's 11:15.
Yeah, I didn't start post game until like 11:15 at night. I felt bad for Cam, who's back here in studios, one of our great producers and runs all the Warriors games. And I'm like, Cam, is it all right if I get you out of here at, 12:15? He's like, I mean, I guess, because we usually go an hour. And like 8 o'clock tips are just, we got to find a better way to just, it'd be one thing, 7:30 is pushing it, but you jump from 7 o'clock to 8, and then of course you have the 15-minute buffer. 8 o'clock ain't it, man. I was tired the next day.
You? Come on, man. Nobody burns the candle on both ends like you.
I was tired this morning. You just wouldn't know it.
888-957-9570. Mitch is hanging out in New Jersey. Let's do it. Mitch, how are you?
How you guys doing? Happy Halloween, belated.
You as well.
Yeah. Well, mine wasn't too good for my grandson. He didn't get the chance because some Princeton tree took out a wire in my house, no electricity, and the guy took off. So I didn't get it till 1 o'clock. So no trick-or-treating for my grandson. He's 3. Well, it's always next year. Okay, I think this Western Conference is going to be really good. You got to watch out for Dallas, San Antonio, and even Utah. What about a trade with the Warriors? Kuminga? If you want to stay here, it was the whole baseball season talking about Kuminga. What about Kuminga and Moody to New Orleans? I like Herb Jones. He can throw in Zion. What do you think? This is a crazy idea or what? I think Zion, maybe he can work well up in, with Curry and all.
Food poisoning or candy poisoning from whatever it is that you were eating.
Not at all.
I don't know if you're like messing with me.
Mitch, you all right, buddy?
I think you're doing like...
I'm fine.
You're just poking the bear, aren't you?
No. Maybe a little lack of sleep. I just thought these are two teams that kind of waiting for Kuminga, even Moody, to blossom. And then over there, Herb Jones is just good. But Zion, you never know what you're going to have with him. Maybe he could get his act together. I just thought, a new scene and all that, new scenario.
Mitch in New Jersey. Thanks, Mitch. It's actually not bad. I mean, Herb Jones is a good player. Zion Williamson, people still think that guy could be something, but it's never going to happen.
Well, if there's somebody you want on that team, it's Trey Murphy.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm thinking of, not Herb Jones.
Well, Herb Jones is a good player, but Trey Murphy's, who, by the way, was a guy the Warriors could have drafted. I think they took Moody.
He's hurt a
right
lot
before him. Yeah, he's been in and out, but he's 6'9", can shoot the three ball and defend.
He is the perfect two-way player.
He might be starting for the Warriors on this team.
I feel bad. I wouldn't have to Mitch that hard. He's actually...
Well, it sounds like he had a tough night. You're the beginning? This guy had the power knocked out of his house and couldn't take his grandson trick-or-treating.
I miss that.
It's because Bichette popped out in the ninth inning with runners on.
And bullshit.
He got doubled off.
All right, so the Golden State Warriors take on those Indiana Pacers who are playing without one Tyrese Halliburton. The Golden State Warriors coming off that. And sort of this is what it is I think we can expect, where the Warriors will get exposed because they're old and they're slow at times. But then they can bounce back and be a team with their legs and resemble nothing like the team that just sort of mailed it in against the Milwaukee Bucks. What are you expecting out of the Warriors tonight?
I expect them to roll. Yeah, I mean, the Pacers are not a good team with how banged up they are. But the one thing they do have are a lot of guys who can run. And I think the Warriors, like, to me, that game against Milwaukee, they just look uninterested, honestly. I think you said it perfectly in our first hour, which was they played like the Bucks were going to come out and take a lot of shots and make some. And eventually the averages are going to fall in our favor. But the Bucks just kept making shots. Ryan Rollins kept making shots. And then you find yourself down 6 or 8 in the waning moments, and you're like, all right, we got to turn it on. And it just wasn't there when they tried to. Like, this Warriors team is not good enough to just turn it on and beat anyone in the league. I don't think a lot of teams are like that this year, except for a few. And the Warriors ain't one of them. So I think they're going to come out with a little more intent against Indiana. I think a lot more focus. But Indiana's a team that, you know, they didn't have Ant, but they played the Timberwolves tight. They played the Thunder tight. They've played the Mavericks tight. You know, they'll stay in a game if you let them. But if you go out there and play the way that I think we all believe the Warriors should, this should be a blowout defeat for Indiana. Like, the Warriors should win this game, I think, handedly, which would also behoove them to do so, considering they have a back-to-back coming up on Tuesday, Wednesday. They get a few days of rest. They got to come back. They got to come back home. But, you know, I think fatigue is a word that's going to follow the Warriors throughout the entire season. And I'm just hoping that, though it's been used early, it's not going to be an excuse every single time they lose a game that they should win.
I mean, the beginning of this season already has been challenging in terms of the schedule. Just taking a look ahead, I mean, so, okay, you got the Pacers tonight. Then you got to come back, and you got this is your back-to-back that you're talking about, where you got the Suns and the Kings. Okay, so back-to-backs, as we know, albeit the Kings. You want to give a Kings update? They continue to go from bad to worse, man. That is such a bad franchise. My goodness, what a terrible basketball
team. I haven't done a deep dive on this, but I'm getting close to being convinced that the worst contract in basketball is Zach LaVine.
Oh, God.
I mean, he can score the ball. I think his game is aesthetically pleasing because he plays above the rim. He's pretty smooth, but, like, the guy gives you nothing on defense. He demands the ball. And on a team where DeMar needs the ball, Monk, who I think is out now, needs the ball, might actually help him. Schroeder needs the ball. Who else needs the ball on that team? Russ. Westbrook needs the ball.
Russ.
Who else? The one guy that they don't actually use, who's probably their best player, is Sabonis.
Yeah.
I mean, a couple of years ago when they made the run and were the third seed, they lost to the Warriors, but they had a couple of decent teams. Sabonis was the guy that touched the ball the most on that team and got
Fox,
everybody else involved.
Fox had a huge series.
Well, he had the ball the most, but Sabonis, like the DHO, the dribble handoff, was synonymous with Sacramento Kings basketball, and now he's just a glorified rebounder. So I that team makes zero sense whatsoever to me, and I would be they're going to be a bottom four team. Them, Memphis are going to be teams that are looking up at a lot of groups in the West.
And the Pelicans are really
bad.
Well,
the Pelicans are just, they're just bad.
To their defense, they are playing without Keegan Murray. But even with Murray back, it's just, what doesn't make sense is what basketball mind, because they all are legitimate players when you look at them individually, but what basketball mind said Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, and Sabonis can coexist, and that'll be sort of our foundational pieces, and we'll build around them? Like, on what planet? Like, what sport is it that you're watching? That is such a mess up there. Anyways, getting back to the Warriors. So you go, Suns, who are a little bit better this year. Suns, and then Kings back-to-back. That back-to-back in and of itself, albeit the Kings, just as we have talked about and detailed, is never a good thing for the Golden State Warriors. But then this road trip. Like, it's already been challenging up to this point. Now this road trip, you got to take on the Denver Nuggets, right? And then the Warriors got the Indiana Pacers. Are those at home? No, those are at home. Okay, so you got the Nuggets and the Pacers. Then you go on the road next week where you got the Thunder and the Spurs back-to-back. And then it's a baseball series with the Spurs. So you see the Spurs, you get a day off, and then you got the Spurs the next day. I mean, it's about as difficult as it gets for the Golden State Warriors in terms of the start of the season.
Yeah, I mean, you got three winnable games coming up. Like, Indiana's not very good. I know Phoenix won last night, but they beat the Jazz. I don't think Phoenix is great. The Kings are not a good team in comparison to others. Like, those, again, like, these are the games, and why I understand the frustration about the Milwaukee game. It's not necessarily that, like, yeah, you're going to have duds, right? That was their first stinker of the year. I know they lost to Portland, but there was a little more built into that third and four nights without Horford. This week, you didn't even have to play Giannis, and you still lost. And you kind of got, I think they dictated the terms of engagement for that game, Milwaukee did. But you look ahead, and you're like, well, you know, are we really going to beat Denver a second time in Denver? Are we really going to beat Oklahoma City, then back-to-back games at San Antonio? And then also, if you look ahead to the end of that road trip, at the end of the road trip, by the way, you have a back-to-back Orlando into Miami, which are not going to be easy games, although Steph Curry always seems to have a 50-burger when he goes to Orlando. Like, that's why I think the frustration with the Milwaukee game is not individual, but you look big picture and you're like, all right, 10 out of the next 12 games are on the road. This is one we should probably get because we're also going to have rest. And it's the first game of a road trip where you might be at your most fresh. So that's where I understand where people are like, that's an inexcusable loss. It's one that, depending on the remainder of this road slate, Dan, you're going to look back at it and say, damn, okay, well, that's the difference between us going 6-4 in the next 10 and 5-5.
So when you think about the Warriors and the trade deadline, do they make a move to get another center? Do they need another wing? What is it that the Warriors are going to address? If you were to assess their needs, now it's way too early in the season, but just if you were to sort of project and take a look ahead at what it is that this team is going to need to finish out the season and be competitive, there's a lot of people feel as though that you need to upgrade with the Quinton Post, a Draymond, and a Trace Jack, or an Al Horford, a Trace Jackson Davis, that you need, you know, you need another body there. Or is it somebody, you know, that is an elusive wing? But first of all, do you think that they need to add, and what position do you think that would be?
I do think that this year the Warriors will make a trade. And I think that trade is going to be determined by how much you get from someone like DeAnthony Melton. Because he's supposed to be a good 3-and-D player, which really fortifies your backcourt. And that might not be a position you really have to look at. And then it's just, well, can we add some size? You know, I think the progression of someone like Post is going to be important. The durability of Horford is going to be important. But at the same time, Dan, this Warriors team has always been at its best when they play small. Like, Draymond, I still believe that you're not going to see it because they're trying to preserve him for the longevity of this year. It's an 82-game marathon. But the Warriors are still their best when Draymond's the five, I think. I know they can play bigger with Horford. They've started bigger with Post. But when it comes down to brass taxes, against the best teams and in the playoffs, I still think that their best five-man unit includes Draymond Green at center. And I know that's going to make people sweat because it means they're small, but that's where, to me, the emergence of a Kuminga, potentially a Moody, wings, guys that can switch, that can play defensively against bigger players. The rebounding aspect of Kuminga's game has been important because if they go small, you need guys that can clean the glass against bigger groups in the Western Conference. And so, to me, the emergence of their younger wings is going to be important. And if I'm looking at a potential position for them to address, I do think it would be more a guard or a wing as opposed to a big, because I think they're just best at the five with Draymond.
Yeah, but how long are we going to subscribe to that? I mean, is it? It's going on 10 years of this, and almost every game, there is a big the Warriors can't match up with. And they're like, well, we're at our best and we're small. I mean, whether it's Zubats, the Clippers, or whether it's the Joker, or whether it's Wemby, every single night, because the big is returned to the NBA, and the Warriors just hang on to this when we do it a different way. Meanwhile, you just watch Zubats eat, or you just watch guys just camp in the paint and dealing with these munchkins who the Warriors roll out every single game because they cling to this subscription of that's the way we won back in the day and we're a small team and we don't need to subscribe to a big... Meanwhile, the landscape of the NBA has changed because everybody did play it like that of the Golden State Warriors, but you know things are cyclical in the NBA, and guess what's returned? The big. And they don't necessarily have to be stretch fives, but just somebody who can protect both rims. And somebody that when you have a 7-footer that is a legitimate 6'10 or a 6'11 guy that is somewhat of an athlete that you can body up and just sort of use at least his five fouls and or just having somebody of that size that you can call on.
Well, that's why you got Horford, right?
But he's 6'9".
He's a little bigger than that. I mean, but I also think that Horford is not a guy that the Warriors are still right now, and I know it's only been six games, but the Warriors are still right now 24th in offensive rebounding. They're 22nd in total rebounding. And while I don't think they've had a massive issue, you know, grabbing boards when they were small last year, that's where someone like Kevon Looney, or his impact a couple years ago was very important when he got to the postseason. He's undersized comparison to a lot of the, you know, 7-footers and trees down there, but he had a knack for rebounding. I do think this team, no matter if they have Horford, Post, whoever they try and trot out there, there's not really a guy that I feel like is going to give you a ton of second chance opportunities. So maybe that's someone that they try and acquire at the deadline. I don't know who's out there necessarily, but you're right that this team is small and has leaned into small ball quite a bit. I just feel like that's always been when they've played at their best. And I also think last year, that's kind of when they were at their best. We saw that there was a ceiling for it, but I get the sneaking suspicion that at the end of the day, we're not seeing Draymond at the five because Kerr wants to make sure he's fresh for when he can eventually play that position.
Oh, he'll be at the five.
I know, he will.
If it's a big game or it's the playoffs, they go back to what they do best, and that's Draymond at the five.
Horford's only playing like 20 minutes a game.
All right, we continue here on 95.7 The Game. When we talk about trades, it seemed to be the consensus at the beginning of the season that Jonathan Kuminga is going to be out the door by the end of the year. Mm. We still clinging to that? Is it still an inevitability that he's going to get traded? Your thoughts when we continue Evan Giddings, Danavone. Warriors this week here on 95.7 The Game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.